The following program is paid for by its sponsors, who are solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are not necessarily the views of WMAL.
When the time has come for moving on, you can't go wrong.
Pointing You Home with Eric Stewart on WMAL.
Pointing You Home.
Now, here's your host, Eric Stewart.
Welcome to Pointing You Home, your number one local news resource for everything real estate and more. Let's jump right into local news that matters to you. If you don't get enough Nestle Toll House cookies, there's a place you can go now to get all you want, and you don't have to bake any of it. There's a new Nestle Toll House Cafe by Chip. I don't know why they call it that, but that's what it's called. It's in Gaithersburg, and it just opened last week with coffee, cookies, as well as flatbreads and paninis in Gaithersburg, Maryland. If you're interested, check it out. Also, Ceremony Coffee Roasters coming to Bethesda. So this is the first location in Montgomery County. There's two in Annapolis, one in the district. They have a variety of coffees, espressos. It's always nice to try something new, and they have something called the Cinnamon Toast Pumpkin Latte. That does sound good. They have another one called the Coffee Sangria. I don't know about that one, but you may want to check out Ceremony Coffee Roasters if you're a coffee connoisseur. MOD Pizza heads to Rockville. MOD offers up to 30 toppings. It's an artisan-style pie, and the Rockville location joins one that is currently in Silver Spring. If you're interested and love pizza like I love pizza, MOD has over 400 locations, and it's definitely worth a visit. Townhouse-style condominiums are coming to Ashburn, Virginia, and they are selling like hotcakes. The Carlisle at Loudoun Valley is going to have 68 townhouse-style condo units ranging from just under $400,000 up to $483,000, and nearly half of those are sold. Loudoun Valley is a sprawling master-planned community in Ashburn in eastern Loudoun County, Virginia, and there are expected to be a couple thousand residences. The Carlisle is just one of three residential collections open for sale there. Two floor plans are offered, Hayes the smaller and Delaney the larger. These are townhouse-style condos, so you've got four levels total. First two floors are the first unit, and then the second set of floors, which is floors 3 and 4, would be the second townhouse. So they're right on top of one another for around $400,000. Got to have good knees for that. And if you do, great. If you want the first floor, then you don't have to have such great knees. But there's a lot to be said about looking for that value. Something like this, downtown D.C., probably cost you $800,000 for the same place. So if you're willing to give yourself a little bit of distance, you'll get a little bit more value for your money. Are streetcars paving the way for urban development? You know, there's a study out, according to the Post, that says that maybe so. District's streetcar system is currently up for expansion. Don't expect that streetcars alone are going to bring renewed prosperity to the neighborhoods that they serve. That's the number one consideration. You don't just get renewal because you have streetcars. The district has a plan to extend their current service, which began on H Street east of Union Station, going in several directions, including into areas east of the Anacostia River. Now, I will say that I think that has a potential to bring a lot of development to Anacostia, primarily, not so much the other direction. Why? Because currently it's difficult to get from Anacostia except, you know, on a metro if you're going to a specific metro stop, whereas if you've got above-ground metro, quote metro, but it's really called a streetcar, it gives you the flexibility of getting over the bridge, being a part of Washington, D.C. You know, D.C. is cut right in half right there by the river, and you've got that whole section in Anacostia, which has been separated and will continue to be separated forever. If we can get folks in Anacostia to easily get over the bridge, it's only going to grow Anacostia as a place that you'll want to live in. Do you think a religious community needs its own building in order to flourish? You know, for decades, changes in religious behavior we've seen, and I've been a part of churches that met in elementary schools and middle schools and such. You know, many have shuttered. Many emptying city houses of worship have shuttered, whether they're Baptist churches, Methodist, or whatnot. An exodus of African Americans from the city and a millennial's desire for unusual places to live in have actually coupled with a growth in the use of old churches to become condominiums. We see this in Washington, D.C. How much of a loss is there really because of that? That we don't have the local church on the corner. Now that church has become condominium dwelling. So there's a nonprofit called Sacred Spaces Conservancy that started quantifying the disappearance of houses of worship in the district's most intensely developed neighborhoods, where the buildings are rapidly being torn down or converted into housing, especially around the H Street Northeast area. And using their data, the group discovered that between 2008 and 2018, Capitol Hill lost about 40% of buildings owned by congregations of various faith backgrounds and used regularly for worship. And the group's study estimates that Shaw and Bloomingdale lost about 30% of all those buildings, and the entire city may have lost around 25% of all of their churches as a result of that. Now, to Sacred Spaces, this organization, and some other researchers of civic life, these buildings have not just spiritual and they also have a communal value, making their decline a cause for alarm. I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this. Send an email to me at radio@ericstewartgroup.com or directly to me at eric@ericstewartgroup.com. What do you think is the impact on the loss of churches in downtown Washington, D.C.? It's a tough trend to understand. It's a complex trend, but it's not. We understand that real estate changes over time. If you go back 100 years, there were churches on corners where everybody who lived around there went to that church probably, you know, or went to churches that were very close. And then there was a regentrification in the mid-20th century, and now we're in the 21st century, and we have, again, a regentrification taking place as a result of millennials. And the demand for real estate has driven those properties to be worth far more for the land value and the potential real estate as a residential development or retail development than as a church. So curious to hear your thoughts on that. We'll cover that some more in a future show. Hey, fewer homes may require human appraisals, but that might not be a good thing. So says Realtor.com, Claire Trapasso. So, you know, the idea that you have an appraiser, you've got typically in the sale of a piece of real estate, you have the seller and you have the buyer. The buyer buys the house based upon their perception of what the value is, and they consider it in consideration of the other comparables and active listings that may justify the price that's being asked. A follow-up is done after the property goes to contract if there's financing or an appraisal contingency. An appraiser goes and visits the property, verify the sticks and the bricks, the improvements, the amenities, and all the features of the property, to come up with what they believe is the fair market value as a means of protecting the bank or the buyer directly if the buyer is buying cash. So you end up having two buyers, the buyer and the bank. And if the bank comes in, as the appraiser comes in, and says, well, instead of the $850 sale price, this is only worth $800 in my opinion, it can undo an entire contract. So here we have a move into artificial intelligence by banks, a move into an attempted automated evaluation that would take the place of a human evaluation. And this is significant because it will be the first increase since 1994 when prices were around $130,000 around the country. And right now, the prices have doubled to a median of $295,000, according to the most recent Realtor.com data. So FDIC, Board of Governors of the Federal Reserve System, and the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency have been working on this proposal. And you know, I think the question comes down to, if you're not going to have somebody actually walk through the property to verify the condition, what are the pitfalls? Well, I'll tell you, the first pitfall that I see is that a house that's seen from the outside but not seen from the inside could create an opportunity for straw buyers. Now, these are buyers who don't really want to buy the property, but they're set up to purchase real estate from money launderers who will, you know, pretend with me, a house is worth $200,000. You bring a straw buyer in who's willing to pay $400,000 for that property, and to get financing on it, they need to get a bank behind it. The straw buyer is set up by the person who owns it at $200,000. They're trying to get it sold for $400,000 when it's not really worth that. The straw buyer agrees for some compensation later to justify their purchase, to make an offer, $400,000. If an appraisal company doesn't look at the inside, but just looks at the outside of the property, And let's say it's in a neighborhood where most of the houses are 400, but this one's only worth two because it has no sink, no faucets, nothing on the inside. The bank could get caught. That's the problem. The bank could get caught because the appraiser would not have seen the inside to know that this isn't really worth $400,000. Instead, the guy owned it for two, sells it for four, it goes to settlement. After settlement, the guy who sold it for four gives the straw buyer, who's not really able to buy, gives him $10,000 for acting like he's a buyer, and then the buyer disappears. There's problems in how lending got back in the previous run-up in real estate, and I could just see where this might be a problem in the future as well. We'll have to see what happens. It hasn't become commonplace, and there are probably going to be some additional steps that the appraisers will go through to verify condition so that what I've just described doesn't happen very often. Maybe you've noticed recently that existing home sales have suffered the largest drop in 4 years, annual largest drop. So this is of concern. And Lawrence Young, who's the National Association of Realtors chief economist, said that the annual decline signals a softness in the housing sector. Obviously, it's likely to persist for months to come. Most of us in the real estate business believe that this is due to the rise in interest rates and a natural coming to an end of a trend of a run-up in prices. We saw prices continue to go up year after year after year after year in many hotbeds of the country. So that has kind of cooled now. We've started to see things settle back down, and there will continue to be hot markets. There will be different markets that will do very well, and I'll report on those as we come to them. So we'll see. We'll see if things pick back up in the new year. We'll keep an eye on that. How to take great listing photos and what it can teach you about marketing your home. When I get back, I'm Eric Stewart for the Point of View Home Show. We'll be right back with more.
This is Pointing You Home on WMAL. Here's your host, Eric Stewart.
Welcome back. I'll never forget the many properties that I've seen over my time, which has no photo. You've probably seen this when you're looking at listings online in a town you'd love to live in, and you see a photo of the outside of this house and this house and this house, and then no photo. It's like death in real estate. You know, gone are those days when all you needed was the four P's of real estate, folks. You know, put a sign up, put a lockbox on the door, put it in the computer, and then pray that it sells. Now, you know, a curb appeal is important. Would you not agree that that's the first thing that catches your eye, whether you're looking at an advertisement for something you might eat or a dress if you are looking to buy a dress or a coat? The same is true in real estate. How it is presented is important. You may advertise a property in as-is condition, which would imply that there are issues and everybody comes to expect that. Wow, that one needs work. But you tell people up front, you don't market it as such, and you have to factor that into the price. Like, you would always consider pricing something according to the demand balanced by the condition, correct? Buyers are scrolling through hundreds of homes on the computer before they ever walk through your door. And I tell my sellers, when somebody comes through, it's their third visit. First two are online. There's possibly another visit in addition, driving the neighborhood to see if they like the streets, the location, making sure that what they can interpret by looking at the property from Google Earth or other apps that allow you to look from above down at a property and even get up in front of a house to kind of get a sense for it. So it's very, very, very important that the photos are exceptional in order to sell the value exceptionally. That is so critical. So take a look at ericstewartgroup.com. I'm not saying this just to tout what we're doing, but I think the quality of the photos for our listings, we have a professional photographer, not on staff, somebody that we hire on every one of our listings to take the images of the inside of our homes and the outside of our homes. And we balance the time of day very carefully. If your home faces to the east, we'll come out in the morning at this time of year, come out in the morning around 9 o'clock to take that picture. And if it's a north and western exposure, the best time may be at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Sun is low, but there's light on the front of the house at that point. So it's very important. Have your property prepared for that curb appeal, that first look online. Now, what does it teach you about marketing? It teaches you that marketing effectively requires great photos. You need to have great photos. Okay. Housing market cool down might be good news for buyers. Now, in our area, I'm not going to see much of a cool down right now. I see prices stable because of the Amazon decision. I felt that we were coming to the end of a natural period of time, partly due to the rise in interest rates. And there is some breaking on the market right now, and that's across the whole country, but it's also here. There's some breaking going on because it costs a person more money to buy a home today than it did a year and a half ago, partly due to price, but especially due to the rise in the cost of borrowing money. Interest rates have gone from 3.5% to 5%, roughly. Right now, with the lack of buyer activity for the time of year, it is November, December, right? So it's right, we're right in that window of time where you've got the leftovers on the market still. Sellers are thinking about taking their homes off the market before Christmas and Hanukkah, and they're thinking about removing the property and then maybe bringing it back next year and sometime, some period of time that is called the spring market of real estate. By the way, if you want to find out when the spring market begins and know how to approach the market next year to sell your property for the most amount of money, please come to one of two lectures that I have this Saturday. One is in McLean, Virginia, and one is in Maryland, D.C., right on the line on Jennifer Street. And I will give, and both of these are really going to be very straightforward, one-hour presentations about the right time, how, what is the best condition considerations, where not to put your money, where you won't make money, and how do you work through the financing, the termite inspection, the appraisal as you're going through selling or buying your real estate. It's a one-hour lecture that takes a big piece of all the content that I've put together in the Market Ready Guide and in other guides together in one lecture free. We'll have refreshments and we'll have a time for questions and answers for anything, any questions you might have. So go to ericstewartgroup.com to sign up. That's ericstewartgroup.com, or you can call us toll free and leave a message. We'll get back to you to get you all the details if you prefer to handle it that way. It's toll free, 800-900-9104. I'm Eric Stewart. I'm the host of the show, and I've been on the air here for 15 years, and I've been practicing real estate for 31 years. Sell about 150 to 160 homes each year as a team. So we're in Maryland, D.C., and Virginia. We just sold a home in Alexandria. I've got a new listing in Vienna. We've got other properties. I'm in negotiations for a home in Falls Church right now. We just put a home under contract in Potomac, representing a buyer in this case. And by the way, we negotiated a very, very good price because of the time of year. The lack of buyer demand is a great time to be a buyer agent representing buyers to get the best price possible. So if you're thinking about buying next year, call me today. Let me tell you why you might want to consider moving the time frame up and what I can do to help you. 800-900-9104 is the number to call. There are lots and lots of considerations when it comes to real estate and how much you really need in a house, and having a good real estate agent who can help to probe your imaginations about what you need and bring some reality to those imaginations, not to destroy the imagination, but really to help refine it. You know, good approaches to real estate involve the following. Every home is a compromise of some kind. It doesn't matter which house you buy. Why is that? Two reasons. Because unless you build the house exactly what you want it to be, you don't get everything that you wanted. There's always going to be something that you're missing. It could be that you wanted a three-car garage, but this house in this location for this school district, everything else was exactly what you wanted, and you would miss out on these other things that you really want, and you forego the third-car garage. So there's some compromise. You make a decision, it's okay. There's no moral decision in this. It's just you make that decision. But the reality is, after a month being in that house, you'll then realize some things that you wish you'd done differently. It'll just be the way your family flows through a space that you didn't think about. Oh, gosh, I keep running into my daughter in that hallway, or that door opens into where people are walking or whatnot. You know, it's just things we miss in life. Gosh, I don't know if anybody has mentioned this to you before, but life is not perfect. It's amazing. And recognizing that we all have a goal to be the best that we can be and to find the best and make sure we don't make mistakes. The reality is that there's no perfect house. any more than there is any perfect person. Every house has its changes and challenges. And so the second reason is that when you moved into the house, the things that you really wanted will change 2 years later. They'll be different. All of a sudden, you'll decide that you'll want to take up kayaking and you need that third car garage and it became more important to you, right? Or whatever it might be. Things are always shifting. Things are always changing. So you want to have an agent who will help you think through what it is you really want, what you say you really want, and then what's the practical use of that. We do that at the Eric Stewart Group. Okay, that's what we do. That's just our consulting style to how we approach helping our clients figure things out. And on the sell side, sometimes that conversation is, hey, you know, maybe this isn't the best time for you to sell your house. Here are the reasons why. Now, that's kind of funny. Why would a real estate agent advise you not to sell when they don't make money? Because we look at the fiduciary duty that we have to you as a seller or a buyer as the most important consideration. Fiduciary agency means that the relationship that we have to our clients is similar to a husband to a wife or a wife to a husband. Okay. That whether or not I'm actually involved in negotiating for the sale of your home, if I see you're in trouble, I'm responsible to look out for you. Everything has to be predicated by that care for you as a client. That's how we run our operation at the Eric Stewart Group. More information at ericstewartgroup.com. That's ericstewartgroup.com or toll-free 800-900-9104. Quick mention, rare opportunity to own a home right on the 10th at Manor Park Community. That's the Manor Club at 4318 Breton Road for $1,295,000. Check it out at ericstewartgroup.com. Well, we're out of time here for Pointing You Home, but coming up, Senior Solutions with my guest host, Stuart Rosenthal. That wraps it up. I'm Eric Stewart. We'll see you in just a moment.
The Eric Stewart Show, pointing you home on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.